You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I've never been this nervous in my life.
Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead. Download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
I'm Lior Phillips, host of This Must Be The Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK, Independent Louisville at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks to all the subscribers who are checking in every single week, the multiple interviews we release, one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you could leave a rating, give a review, any of that stuff, it's always a huge help. If you're not a subscriber, please do hit that subscribe button right now. You know the drill. If you listen to podcasts, it's what everybody begs you to do. Keep up with the series. It is a good way to keep up with your favorite artists, what they're up to, what they've done in the past, what they're doing in the future, how they made the songs, all that fun stuff. Just type in Kyle Meredith With wherever you get your podcast from. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Sandy Alex G. I'll be talking with Alex about his new record called House of Sugar. It is being called one of the year's best records, and for good reasons, too. We'll get into the ins and outs of how we made it, the music. There's a lot going on in this record, but it never feels too busy. So Alex takes me through the process of how he works on these songs, his penchant for hooks within them, and the weird instrumentals. He calls them weird, so I'm really taking his words there. There's some of my favorite moments on the record. But we'll also get into the ones with lyrics. How important does a story within the songs become for him? He kind of shies away from ever giving the meaning behind songs, but we'll get into the importance of what they mean to him, connecting with the listener. And we'll also pull the telescope back for the broad picture. The album is called A House of Sugar. It plays a dual purpose, and I kind of connect the dots to a bigger picture in the political and socio-political nature of the country right now. Speaking of politics, there was a really weird moment in Alex's life this year. Maybe you remember seeing a meme go around of Beto O'Rourke where they were saying that he had urinated on himself. It turns out that was not urination, it was beer, and it was not Beto O'Rourke, it was Alex. I gotta ask him what that experience was like. We're gonna get into that as well, and so much more beyond that. talking about this fantastic record called House of Sugar. It's Kyle Meredith with Sandy Alex G.
How are you?
I want to congratulate you on the House of Sugar. All of the credit and accolades that you're getting for this are completely deserved. It's a hell of a great record, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that a lot.
I noticed you were on tour with Timberland too, right?
Yeah, we are touring with her in May, and we're taking her on tour again. I guess we're leaving in a few days.
I've not met her yet, but she's also based here in Louisville, and we've kind of fall in love with her music too, so it was cool to see that that connection's been happening all year.
Yeah, right. She's from Louisville. Yeah. She's living there.
So getting into the House of Sugar record, it was interesting because, you know, the first thing I read about this came from the press release, and it put two words together, which I couldn't help but kind of single out. The words meticulous and cohesive, which doesn't always work for a lot of people, but it was a perfect way to talk about how this record unfolds. With seemingly so much going on, how do you know when to stop the layers and to take away? Because there's never a point on this record where I think there's too much. It all sounds like it works so well.
I'm glad you think that. You know, there's no real method to it. I think most of the songs start off like, I mean, the process is, you know, have a structure, a chord structure roughly, and a melody roughly, and then I just keep adding and adding and adding, and then over the course of months or however long I was working on it, I'd revisit all the songs, and you take stuff away, add a little more, take a little more away. You know, it's just kind of like, it's like whittling or something.
And in every riff, I mean, there's a lot of melody packed into every single, you know, riff on this record. Is that important for you for everything to be kind of catchy on its own terms?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the decision-making process when I'm making this stuff is just, I'm just going off of my gut mostly, so I'll be listening to the song on the headphones or whatever and sitting with my guitar or the keyboard and just playing over and over and over, and then when I strike something that resonates with me, that's when I'll be like, oh, okay, let me get this down, and then I'll do it again, and then I'll strike something else that resonates and record that, you know. And so it's just a long, or I mean, it's not always a long process, but that's the process, and then eventually I'll take stuff away and keep some of the stuff. But I guess the reason it's all little hooks is just because that's the only thing that resonates with me when I'm making it, you know.
You're not afraid of hooks anyway. You don't run away. Some artists might, you know. It's not for everybody.
Right, yeah. I guess I indulge myself with that. The hooks, I guess.
And I will say, you know, speaking on the music too, the instrumentals, they almost did, well, I guess they demand as much of the spotlight as even the ones with lyrics. Do you know when a song is just going to be an instrumental? Do you ever plan it that way, or does it just kind of end up like that?
You know, most of them, I know it's going to have lyrics, you know, because there's a lot of the songs in there sound pretty traditional, you know, but then there's a song like Sugar on there and the song Project 2, and I think those are the only two that are, those are probably the weirdest on there, but I think those two, like Sugar ended up having some sketchy vocals and Project 2 didn't, but with those two, I think it was up in the air whether they have vocals or not for a little bit. I think, like, I know when a song's going to be weird, but as far as vocals or not, I'm like, it's not like priority, you know, like make that decision isn't priority when it's a weirder song like that.
You know, for a lot of albums, those would kind of be just bridges between songs. And I find that when I have the album playing, and even if it's in the background, when those moments come on is the moments I kind of turn around and stop and go, that was cool. That was a really cool moment.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you know, I think that's how they end up on there, just in the creative process too. You know, it's like I'm always trying to like reignite the excitement or something in myself when I'm making it. So I'll make a guitar song and I'll make a piano song, and I'm like, okay, now I need to make something that'll throw a wrench and all that just so I get excited about it again, you know, something like that.
A lot of times, too, we're just messing around, you know, that's how music is made. You just kind of fiddle around, even as you're talking about, to a point, you know, how it happens. But was there anything new that you wanted to do with the music this time around, like specifically?
No, not specifically. Like, pretty much all the records I make, I'm just trying to, I mean, I say this, like, I'm trying to please myself every time, but, you know, obviously I'm not making it in a vacuum or anything, but it's just the way that I know how to do it is making music that I'm enjoying, and then I can trust that at least someone else will enjoy it if I'm enjoying it, you know what I mean? But I'm just trying to make a record that people can listen to over and over. That's pretty much always my goal.
Well, yeah, and I hear you kind of, you know, a lot of interviews when you're asked about lyrics about songs, you kind of say, you know, you don't like to get into exactly what you meant by it, which I completely get that. But how important does the story within the songs become? Like, how important is it for you for a listener to connect to a story? Or does what you're doing vocally, you know, just become another instrument?
That's a good question. I guess, like, I do spend a lot of time on the lyrics, you know, but not that I need for other people to spend a lot of time with my lyrics, but I do. I spend a lot of time with the lyrics in the way that I spend a lot of time with all the melodies and stuff, too. It's just I want to make sure every part that you're hearing is as good as it can be, or as good as I can make it. So I want the lyrics to be opaque enough that, you know, someone can project onto them what they want, but they're also specific enough that I can write them and it's moving me as I'm making the music, you know, or it's moving me as I'm writing it, just for the same reason that I make that I throw the weird songs on there. Like, it's all, I guess I'm trying to keep myself interested in some subconscious way, you know, so I have to make lyrics that mess with my own head in order to keep being, like, excited about the whole process.
I don't want to draw too much of a hard line right here, but would it be fair to throw a little comparison? Like, it kind of reminds me of what Michael Stipe was doing with, like, 80s REM. You know, it was, there was that murky kind of thing. Like, I'm not always completely sure what he's saying, but I know it means something.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not that familiar, but I know, like, their hits, and I think I know what you mean by that. Yeah, like, he always has some crazy imagery that is probably specific to him that you're not really supposed to know what he's talking about, I guess, as a listener. Yeah, like, I think I'm pretty much in the same boat, except I try to use a little bit more universal imagery just so that people, I want to make it somewhat of like a Rorschach test or something, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I might be trying too hard on this one right here, but, you know, when I, and this is my view of the Rorschach, as you're saying, when I look at the title, you know, House of Sugar, and I read about how it sort of has this dual purpose of a casino and also the Hansel and Gretel fairy tale, and my first thought was America. You know, this is this is sort of a broad scope of what's going on right now. I don't know if it means the same thing to you like that.
I think that makes perfect sense to me. And, like, yeah, I mean, to give myself away a little bit, I did think about it not specifically, or maybe not as broad as America, but maybe this is even broader than America, but what I was trying to capture, like, characters that were indulging and, you know, the cause of their own demise or something, you know what I mean?
Right.
In some way, but, like, also there's a ton of lyrics on there that just don't relate to that at all, you know, but I guess, you know, 50% of the time or 70% of the time, that's what I was going for.
Well, you even get it. I mean, you know, I'm pulling it out of context, but, you know, when we look at the first single with Gretel, and you've got that line, good people gotta fight to exist. And that seems like the battle cry for a big chunk of people in the country right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess my goal, too, is to make things, like, I don't want to say tongue in cheek, but I would like it. If you wanted to hear it as tongue in cheek, you could. You know what I mean? Because I guess, like, I'd like the narrator to always be fallible in the song, too, you know? So I wouldn't want someone to hear that and think I'm saying, like, I'm a good person. Like, you know, I'd like the words good and bad in lyrics because they're so manipulative and they're so subjective, you know what I mean? Like, manipulative to say that you're a good person. It's manipulative to say you're a bad person too. You know, it's like things that people use.
You've got the song, you've got Bad Man. It's in the title right there. Is the accent that you're doing part of the tongue in cheek that you're getting at?
No, you know, well, a little bit, I guess, because that song went through a couple different versions. The first version, when I wrote it, it was just on acoustic guitar, and I was singing it normally. Then I played it on piano, sang it normally. But, like, every time it was too much of, like, it sounded like such overly earnest and not enough depth, you know what I mean? So I guess making it kind of, like, playful in the way it is, I thought it gave it some more depth. Just, you know, there's more to unpack, I guess, if you had a little joke or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's a fun layer. I mean, the first time you hear it, you know, it is kind of like that. What is going on right now? It's fun to listen to.
Right.
Backing up just a little bit, I don't want to get away from the music here, but, you know, we were talking about America for a second. I just had to ask for a second. You kind of unintentionally got pulled into the political race for like a half a second with a photo that got It was Beto O'Rourke. What was that like in your world? Because that had to be like, what a weird moment in life that had to be, I guess.
I mean, it was the hardest I laughed in a long time. I was like flabbergasted. So funny. But yeah, I mean, that was about it. It got more hype than the record did, so that was cool.
Any press is good press, right?
Yeah, right. I was just like, because I made it like a, my friend from high school sent me a picture of it, so I like made, I was just like dying laughing, and I made a post. I usually don't post on social media shit, but I was like, fuck it, this is too funny, and I made a post, and it got like a zillion likes like so quick, as opposed to the album, which was like, you know, not that many likes. Everyone got likes. Everything gets likes, you know what I'm talking about. But like that picture just like exploded. It was really funny.
What a weird little moment. All right, we'll get back to the record, because the record closes out with this big epic song that I've fallen in love with, which is sort of works as a title track, I guess, with the Sugar House, but it's also a live cut on a studio record. It's kind of your Purple Rain moments.
I was listening to a lot of this album Harvest Moon by Neil Young, mm-hmm. and he's got a couple, at least one live song on that record that, like, where you hear the crowd and stuff. It sounds like it's at a venue, and I just liked the sound of that record a lot, and something about what that live track does to the... there's something about the mood of, like, having a live song in there. It's, like, kind of, like, haphazard and not as... I've been trying to describe this, because people always ask, like, why'd you put a live song in there? And I'm like, I still have yet to describe it, to describe what I'm going for accurately. You know what I mean? But there is, like, a feeling that I got from the Neil Young Harvest Moon record when he'd go into the live song, and I was trying to capture that, and I can't really describe it, but that's what I was going for.
No, I understand, because, you know, and as I trace it back to Purple Rain, too, because, you know, that's kind of how that record ended, and it does remind me that, and the audience was a part of that in an interesting way, although I kind of laugh to myself, because when you hear the audience at the end, you can kind of tell that it was a new song for them, and I think that's one of the funniest moments of this. Like, it's not this huge roar that you would expect at the end of a live song. It's like, oh, and there's the new song.
Yeah, they're like, okay. Yeah,
this is, I'm not giving you a comparison here because that would be weird, but there was a moment when someone asked Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin what was it like the first time they played Stairway to Heaven, and he said, I don't know, people looked bored in the crowd because they didn't know the song.
Yeah, exactly. New song, it's rough playing new songs before they come out. People just like don't care.
Yet now here it is closing up, you know, and I'll say it, one of the year's best records. So it's kind of fun how that all worked out.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem. Alex, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time today. I really do love House of Sugar, and I look forward to catching one of these shows too. Hopefully with one of those with Tamberlin.
Oh, great. Yeah, hope to see you there.
All right, man. It was a pleasure. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Bye. Huge thanks to Alex right there. That was a really fun conversation. Sandy Alex G, the brand new record is called House of Sugar, and it's available now. Thanks to you for checking out the series, making it all the way to the end of the interview. If you could give the series now a rating, leave a review while you're here, that would be a huge help. If you're not a subscriber, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Stitcher, Acast, Podchaser, you can subscribe in any of those places or anywhere else you get your podcast from. Just type in Kyle Meredith With and hit subscribe. After that, head to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres and debuts, anniversary spins, music news, and even more interviews. That's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me at Twitter at Kyle Meredith, Facebook.com/Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant, Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.